It is not I, but the Christ within who does the work. For these few quiet moments, these precious moments of prayer and meditation, we relax and allow the pressures and concerns of the day to slip gently away. Let us close our eyes and take a few easy breaths. In this relaxed state, we are attuned to the love of God and are completely aware of it as peace, health, wisdom, security, abundance. As we breathe in God's love. As we breathe out, we release any thought not in harmony with God's gentle, all-providing love. We are totally relaxed, totally in tune with the love of God and with all humanity. I surrender my will to the guidance of the Christ within me. My ego self often feels powerless and unable to solve perceived problems. I choose to remember to have my ego self step aside and focus my awareness on the Christ within me, my source of empowerment. I believe that a power greater than my ego self, the creative intelligence, the universal mind, is responding to me in a personal, positive way and is restoring me to its divine intelligence and its perfect order right now. I need only step out of the way and allow this to happen. I understand and believe that the activity of God is taking place in me right this moment, and I can feel it. This infinite power is restoring, healing, comforting, and lifting me up to its higher vibration. I believe this for you and for me. I now make a decision to place my will, my life, my mind, my emotions, every situation, all conditions, circumstances, everything that exists in my life under the direction and power of the Christ within me. I ask the universal mind to take complete charge of my life. I allow myself to acknowledge all anger, all resentment, all blame, all guilt toward all I have known in this life. I ask for clarity of thoughts and emotions. In this moment, I put aside all blame of myself and others. I see the world free of shame and guilt. I ask for the specific help I need to recognize the Christ presence within me and to allow that Christ mind to work through me, whether for healing, a special project, guidance, or any other situation in my life. I ask and know that the universal mind responds to my request. I joyously accept and give thanks, knowing that the miracle-working power of the Christ within me has already responded to my every need. My life has joyously changed, and I take on the same feelings I would have if my requests had already been fulfilled. We now have a covenant with the Christ mind present in each of us to get out of the way and accept the good that wants to come into our lives. And we go out into the world with a spirit of enthusiasm, excitement, expectancy, and exuberant joy. As we go out into the world, we act, feel, and express love from this moment forward in every situation. We conduct ourselves as though the perfect solution has unfolded in every area of our lives. We forgive ourselves should we return to our former ways and thoughts and allow ourselves to come back to our Christ center. We dedicate ourselves to be of maximum service to God and our fellow beings, to live in a manner that sets the highest example of centeredness and joy for others to follow, and to remain an open channel of God's will. We are at peace. Repeat together, I am at peace. I am at peace. Slowly let your mind become aware of the presence of this room. And slowly, when you are ready, allow your eyes to open. Good morning. My talk this morning is called A Funny Thing Happened on My Way to Disprove God. I grew up in a ghetto in Brooklyn, New York. Did you ever think that God was ignoring you? Did you ever think that maybe God wasn't ignoring you, but maybe you weren't listening? There was a story I read about of a man who would go to church every Sunday with his wife, and as soon as the minister would start to speak, he'd fall asleep. So one Sunday he's there with his wife, the minister starts to speak, he falls asleep. When he wakes up, he sees his wife going down the aisle, so he gets up and he follows her down the aisle. When the wife sees him, she turns around and whispers, "Go back to your seat. I'll tell you later." It seemed that the minister had asked all the women who wanted to be better mothers to come down front for a special blessing. Yeah, maybe God is speaking. Maybe you're not listening. You know, growing up in an inner city ghetto can be very hard to open up to spiritual things, even though I went to religious school for 8 years. I was more like the little boy who came home from Sunday school and the mom said, "So what'd you learn today?" And the little boy said, "Well, we learned about Moses and how he took the slaves out of Egypt. They came to a big river, built a big bridge, and went into the promised land." And the mom said, "Are you sure that's the way the teacher told the story?" And the little boy said, "Well, if I told you what the teacher said, you'd never believe it." So I was like that little boy. I heard these stories, but, you know, I just didn't believe it. So by the time I reached college, I used to call myself an advanced atheist. What's an advanced atheist? That's a person who thinks he doesn't believe in God, but he also wants to argue with everybody who says that they do. Well, fortunately for me, God had plans for me. And on one cold November evening in 1967, I got on my motorcycle for my 30-minute ride home from Brooklyn College. 5 minutes away from my parents' house, all of a sudden there was a steel wall right in front of me on the highway. And before I could avoid it, I crashed into a disabled trailer truck that had been abandoned on the highway in the fog with no lights on. Now, I didn't black out and go into a tunnel and see the light. Instead, I found myself in the street, bleeding profusely and in a lot of pain. Strangely enough, I didn't have any fear at the time. All I could think of is, my life is meaningless. Let's just get it over with. So I think Spirit looked down and said, "I think we need to teach the boy what it's all about." So an ambulance came, took me to a big city emergency room. I lay on the gurney for another 3 hours until they were ready for me. Finally, the doctors came into the room. They ran some tests. They did some suturing of all the deep cuts. And then at 3 a.m. in the morning, they came back into the room and said, "Look, all the bleeding has stopped. You don't have any major injuries. Here's a pair of crutches. You can go." So as I limped out of the hospital, I said, "Things are going to be different." I felt like my life had been given back to me. And I thought nothing was ever going to be the same again. Well, in the emergency room, they said I'd probably never run again. I was the captain of the Brooklyn College track team. I didn't believe it. After they told me that, I rode away for a track scholarship. And I decided I didn't want to live in New York City anymore. So I rode away to some southern colleges. Now, I was accepted both in Florida and in Louisiana. I had a lot of relatives in Florida. I had none in Louisiana. I chose Louisiana. I knew that I wanted to be on my own. I didn't want family looking over my shoulder, telling me what to do, what not to do. Now, when I got down there, I was limping, and the track coach said, "Well, watch this." And I said, "Don't worry." For some reason, I had absolute faith that I was going to heal completely. Well, within 6 weeks of getting there, I was running like the accident never happened. A few months later, I was talked into entering a weightlifting contest, at which time I hurt my low back, and that injury persisted for the next 3 years right into graduate school. Finally, a chiropractor helped. I decided to become a chiropractor. Off to Davenport, Iowa, I go, still calling myself the advanced atheist. One day a classmate tells me he's going to go to a workshop to hear a clairvoyant speak. So what did I say? I said, "If you're that gullible, I better go with you to protect you." Because I thought that was nonsense. I was a scientist. Well, instead of protecting my friend, I started sensing something which I couldn't explain. So for the next 3 years, I kept on looking for answers. How is this possible? I didn't even believe in it. And finally, in 1975, I picked up a book which changed my life. That book became my Damascus Road experience. The book was There Is a River, the biography of Edgar Cayce by Thomas Agru. I was so impressed by that book that even though I was brought up in a Jewish family and was calling myself an advanced atheist, I finished reading the book and went out and joined a Southern Baptist Sunday school. See, I was brought up with the Old Testament, and I knew I got to study the New Testament. I got to figure out what's in there. Now, Cayce also mentioned that dreams could be a pathway to your higher self. Well, I've been having dreams all my life, never knew they had any meaning. All of a sudden, I had a reason to study my dreams. Since 1975, I've recorded over 18,000 of my own dreams. Now, these have given me information on every area of my life, physical, emotional, mental. One of the first dreams that told me something very specific was a dream that told me to write an article on cancer. Well, I woke up and said, "I'm not going to write that." I said, "I'm a chiropractor. Who'd want to read an article on cancer written by a chiropractor?" Well, 2 weeks go by, and I'm not writing it. My conscience won't leave me alone. And I go, "Okay, I'll write it, but no one's going to print it." So I sent it into the newspapers, an editorial, and they wrote it. So anytime you have a major question in your life, the guidance is write out your question on a pad by your bedside, and before you go to sleep, pray for guidance. I wrote on my pad, "Should I write any more articles?" A short time later, I had an answer in a dream. In the dream, I was a gunfighter back in the Old West. And in this gun battle, my opponent reached for his six guns to draw his six guns. I reached for my holsters, drew out two pencils, and shot him. I knew that the power of the lead of my pencils was more powerful than the lead of his six guns, so I kept on writing. Ended up writing another 20 articles for newspapers and journals, and eventually my dream book, He Who Walks on Two Worlds. But just like that, dreams have given me insights into so many different areas of my life. I was a competitive bodybuilder back in the 1970s. I was so headstrong with my workouts, I used to say, if work gets in the way of my workouts, I'm going to have to get rid of work. Well, fortunately for me, I placed fourth in Mr. Louisiana 1979 on a day when I shouldn't have. There were four men in the audience who could have beaten me who didn't want to compete that day. So I took the trophy and I said, God, thank you for the trophy. It's enough. I then stopped competition. Now I just do it for fun and for health. Short time after that, I had a dream in which a teacher said, now that you have given up competition, we can get on and do some important work with your life. The healing started the following year. See, sometimes we hold on to things so tightly in our lives that we prevent ourselves from receiving our highest spiritual good. And that's probably something everybody should ask themselves. Is there something I'm holding on to so tightly that it's preventing me from receiving my highest spiritual good? Another question I had was, where should I set up my clinic? I was impressed with large holistic centers opening up on the West Coast. So I wrote it out on my pad. And I had a number of dreams which gave me insights into that. In one of them, I was a little baby in a crib. I was about an inch big. So I was really tiny. In another crib, there's a big baby running around the crib. And he's about 3 feet tall. And a voice says he can move because he's bigger. When you two are bigger, you too can move. I knew the dream was telling me I had things to learn right there in Monroe, Louisiana, and that when the time was right, I would be led forth. Another dream said the reason you've been led to Louisiana is that the sparse social activity will be helpful for your growth, similar to being in a monastery. And once again, when the time is right, you will be led forth. Now, do you believe that you are a unique creation of God? Do you believe you came here on a mission? I believe those things. And because I do believe those things, after my busiest year as a chiropractor, I decided God didn't want me to keep this gift of healing a secret anymore. I gave away the clinic and started traveling and lecturing full time. Now, it's interesting that the first time I had a major spiritual dream, I was embarrassed to record it. And people would say, wait a second, how can you be embarrassed by a spiritual dream? I said, well, I'm the youngest of six. My oldest brother's an accountant. The next brother's a physicist. Then there's my sister who's a nurse. Then another brother who's a chiropractor who'd followed me into chiropractic. And then the next brother's a psychologist. In the dream, a spiritual teacher comes to me and says, do you want to come with me on the spiritual path? Or do you want to go with these doctors on the path of great wealth? And I went, money. And then I said, no, I want to go with you. And as soon as I said that, they took me into a new room and started pulling out a second skin. And it started hurting. And I said, stop it, you're hurting me. And they went, eh. They kept on pulling out the new skin until it completely covered my entire body. I then found myself back at my parents' house in Brooklyn. And I said, well, why are they looking at me the same way? Can't they see that I've been changed? But the voice said, no, they can't tell. The new skin fits perfectly over the old. So people would say, well, so why would you be embarrassed by that dream? Well, I was embarrassed by the dream because I thought that somehow someone in the family would find out that I would choose God over money. I found that very threatening at the time. But the more I thought about the dream, I said, you know what? That's not a bad dream. My family already thinks I'm a little bit strange. I think if you walk your talk, people will come to accept you for who you are. Also, if you remember, when Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He didn't say forget about money. He just said, choose God first, and then will all these things be added to you. Now, my first dream on spiritual healing occurred in 1981 after my first visit to the Findhorn Foundation in northern Scotland. I had a dream that I was in a church. I came out of the church and there was a gate with a lock on it. And I made the sign of the cross and said, in the name of the Christ, and the lock opened. And then a voice said, look at that, we have Christ in our midst. And I said, no, I'm no one. I'm here to help him manifest the Christ. Well, I thought it was a great dream, but I didn't know what to do with it. A few months later, I'm at an Edgar Cayce Holistic Health Seminar in Phoenix, Arizona, and we're discussing dreams, and I mentioned this dream, and a lady says, well, you're a chiropractor. Why don't you make the sign of the cross over someone's spine and see what will happen? And I said, well, nothing's going to happen. It's just a dream. She said, humor me. Well, 95 out of 100 people, when their spine has misalignment, they lay down with their shoes on, one leg is going to be shorter. 95 out of 100 people, when the chiropractor aligns the spine, usually the legs even out. So I checked the person's spine, checked their legs, stepped a few feet away, made the sign of the cross and said, in the name of the Christ, and their spine leaped into place. Needless to say, I was so shocked, I said, I'm not going to tell anybody about that back home in Louisiana. I thought I'd lose all my credibility, but I got curious. You know, was this a one-time thing? Could I do it again? You know, what else was involved? Was it just the spine? If it was just the spine, I might have theorized, well, maybe I was influencing it somehow because I was trained as a chiropractor. But it wasn't just a spine. It was all kinds of things. You know, I was glad when I spoke at the big Unity Church in North Atlanta that an oncologist came to the workshop, because it's been very difficult to get documentation from medical doctors. Well, this oncologist came to the workshop and referred one of his patients to me who had a massive tumor in her uterus. I did some healing with her. 6 weeks later, she went back to the same doctor and then contacted me the following day to let me know the tumor was completely gone. Another case we had great documentation was down in Unity of Key West, Florida. A lady had AIDS for many years with a T-cell count of 350. 2 days after her healing, she went and had her blood work redone, and it was up to 770, back in the normal range. She gave me all the documentation, said, if this can help you, please use this. Or for me as a chiropractor, probably the most dramatic case I've ever seen is at Unity of Fort Myers, Florida. A lady comes in a wheelchair with metal clamps on her legs, and she shows me her lateral lumbar x-rays, which shows no disc spacing in the low back, and she had degenerative disc disease. And she was in her 30s, she was a nurse, couldn't work anymore. Anyway, we did healing. She started feeling so much better the following month, she got new x-rays done, and there was disc spacing in the low back. Within 9 months, she was back at work, was a 99% recovery, no more chair, wheelchair, or metal braces. Now, that's not supposed to happen after 25, when bones are fully ossified. Or seeing a dog who's so arthritic, he's carried into the church because any movement created a whelp of pain. And the next day, the lady told me the dog's running around the yard like he's never had any problem at all. Or seeing two people in their upper 80s in age with extremely high blood pressure, and with a phone session, overnight the blood pressure dropped down to 125 to 130. So all these amazing things, physical, but spiritual healing is not just physical things. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and carry burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and meek in my heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is pleasant and my burden is light. So I think what Jesus was saying is anywhere you're stuck, come to God and ask for help. It could be physical, it could be emotional and mental. When I spoke at the Unity Church in Naples, Florida, a man came to me and he said, what did you do to my wife yesterday? And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, for years she had so much anger at her mother, she used to say, if I ever mentioned her mother, she would divorce me. He said, you come and work on her. She comes home and starts speaking about her mother. Then he started smiling and said, whatever you gave her, I want some of it. At Unity of Bellevue in Washington, a lady came and asked for a relationship healing between her and her husband. And I said, you know, I can't work on him without his permission, but I can do a relationship healing from your point of view. The next morning she called the church. She was crying. She said, last night my husband held me for the first time in 5 years. She said, how was that possible? And I told her, with the healing, you became a new person. and you gave off a new vibration, and he thereby reacted differently. Now, sometimes people ask things of me that I don't think can be done. So sometimes I have to give myself a mental smack to get out of the way. So the first time Reverend Grace Merrick called from Unity of Dallas, and she called and asked for a financial healing for the church. And I said, can we do that? She said, well, you're not doing it, God's doing it. And I go, right. I go, okay. Get clear. Did the healing. 2 days later, she called back and said, you know what? The bookkeeper came in, found $800 they'd overlooked. Instant manifestation. I was speaking at the small Unity Church, Unity of Columbia, South Carolina, and the minister from the audience said, we could use some of that. And I said, you want it? You got it. That night, we were having dinner together, and she said, you know what? Someone put a check for $1,000 in the donation plate, and it was a very, very small church. And actually, that happened just 2 weeks ago. So all these amazing things, physical, emotional, mental, pets, finances. You know, I get a lot of great letters from people. Here's one letter that a lady said, Dr. Shea, I don't know where to begin to say thank you. I know all healing comes from God, but I had a miracle yesterday. I want to thank you for dedicating your life to God and being a conduit for these healings. And I want to share my miracle with you. I spoke with you a week ago requesting healing for a surgery I was scheduled to undergo for a lumpectomy on my left breast. I had ultrasound proof of the lump and was having it removed. I went into the hospital yesterday and was hooked up to the IV and was undergoing a procedure where the use of the ultrasound, the doctor places a needle and wire into the tumor so the surgeon can locate it easily to be removed. I was having the test done, but the technician couldn't locate the tumor. She called in the doctor. They looked at the previous film. They showed the tumor very clearly. They were embarrassed. They said, we can't find it. They said, look, we're very good at our work, but all we can say, the tumor is gone. At which point I told them of the healing with you, and they both said, well, we don't believe in that, but just in case, give us his number. So, said, thank you for living the life that you do and for selling this work. Please feel free to use this testimony for anyone who has the ears to hear, eyes to see, and an open heart to receive. So all these amazing things. What's the purpose of spiritual healing? In John 9:1, there's a story that as Jesus passed by, he saw a man that was blind from birth. And his disciples said, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus' answer, neither, but to give glory to God. Sometimes the purpose for spiritual healing is just that simple, to give glory to God. Yes, a funny thing happened on my way to disprove God. I didn't disprove God. I found God. Thank you.